Let's pray, please. Lord God, please help us to think of you and learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we must start by saying Happy Mother's Day. It's great, really good to remember our mothers, how they love and care for us, all they've done for us, and perhaps have had, all they have done in the past. Many of us older folks no longer have a mum to contact or to thank, but we can look back about memories, and perhaps some of you will think about memories of ladies who've helped you as we have the first slide up. Now, this is going back, a memory of mine, someone might say a very distant memory of mine. That's me and my mum and my stepdad. Somebody did say in a message, is that really my hat? But my father died when I was a student, and I quite often flew over to Belfast because my mother lived just outside Belfast. I ought to say this is not her actual home. It is part of the superstructure of a ship with portholes. So she didn't actually live in this, but it was like her little beach hut that my stepfather had. Well, I've gone back to 1983, and I was overstaying with my mother near Belfast, and as quite often, I would obviously love to go to a place called Newcastle, and we'll have a slide of travelling down to Newcastle. This is my favourite place, and I spent all my holidays there when I was a child. The mountains came down to the sea, and the next slide will show you the main street, and there's a lovely beach, and really a lovely place. I always close to my heart. Well, I did check the date, the actual date in September, because it was a rather memorable day, and it actually was the 25th of September, 1983. I set on this trip with my two little girls down to the seaside. But it was not just an ordinary day, because as we set off, you'll see the next slide, came across something. So as we went along, it was an army checkpoint. This actually isn't my car, but my car probably looked a bit like that. And see, in those days, you had to wind the window down. So I'd be winding the window down and showing them my documents. And sort of, here are my documents, and then they'd let me go on. And a few miles down the road, another checkpoint. And so I'd be winding down documents, showing them my who you are, and so on. And there were quite a few checkpoints, which is rather unusual. I mean, there was a lot of trouble in Northern Ireland those days, a lot of gunmen going around shooting each other and what have you. Anyway, I had a lovely day. Good subject for Mother's Day, isn't it? Got back, and my mother said, she was at home, and she said, "Oh, so relieved you got back. There's been a breakout from this high-security prison that Irish Republican Army men, they got guns, and 38 of them broke out, and they were roaming the countryside, and possibly quite close to where I was." Well, quite relieved. But then I suddenly realised something. I had dropped the ticket to get my car and all of us back to England. Now, those of you who remember the old bus tickets, they were sort of cardboard and about this size. And I thought, oh, this is expensive. You know, anyone who knows me, I'm a bit of a saver. And I thought, shall I go back? Shall I go back and try and get this ticket? Well, my mother, you know, she was very concerned about wanting to protect me. And, you know, this is what mothers do, isn't it? They comfort you, they protect you, they teach you, they advise you, they sort of support you, and they say, yeah, you're okay, don't worry. They have a special love and compassion. This is what my mother was doing. She didn't want me. She wanted to protect me. So let's get on to our reading from Mark chapter 10. And it says that they were bringing children to Jesus for his blessing. And the disciples rebuked them. Now, I don't know whether you've been rebuked sometimes. I mean, it hasn't happened to me very often, but sometimes when people ring up to speak to the doctor, there'll be someone who sort of says, well, do you really need to? What's wrong with you? you sort of feel as though, yes, they're far too busy to speak to you. Don't bother them, these busy people. And I think this is probably what the disciples were saying to these parents bringing their children. And of course, do we get annoyed with interruptions? That's the other thing. Those what we call nuisance phone calls. And you might be doing something. You might have just rushed in from the garden and find that somebody wants to sell you something or do a survey. And I think we've got to accept those and at least be civil. But Jesus, he wasn't pleased at all. And I rather like the phrase, he rebuked the rebukers. The disciples rebuked the people and Jesus rebuked the disciples. Anyway, then he said, well, truly, truly, or I tell you the truth, it says in the Children's Bible. Now that means here's something really important. Listen up. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Or as the Children's Bible says, you must accept the kingdom of God like a child, as a little child accepts things. So what's this kingdom of God? Well, St. Matthew, he talks a lot about the kingdom of God in his gospel. He starts off, he says, when Jesus starts his ministry going around the district, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is here. And then in Matthew chapter 9, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The Living Bible says, humble men are very fortunate. And of course, this is because if we realize our need for God's mercy, then we'll call on God to forgive us our sins and to accept us into his kingdom. In Matthew chapter 9, the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, they criticize Jesus because he's saying, you're with people we regard as sinners. So what did Jesus say? He said, well, people who are well don't need a doctor, but it's only those who are sick. These critics, the people who was telling them off, they thought they were okay. But what Jesus was saying is that everyone is sick. Everyone is in need of God's healing, his forgiveness, and his renewal. Now, it may be easy to think of the kingdom of God as that kingdom in heaven that Jesus is going to take us when we're no longer on this earth. And many of you will know that John chapter 14, Jesus told us, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Well, that's the future, and we can look forward to that. And what about the kingdom of God in the present, as we live each day? Kingdom of God on earth. Well, I think we know that St. Peter was totally transformed on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. And he became, I think we'd say, he became one of the people of the kingdom. Saul, on his road to Damascus, he was totally transformed. And many others, they became people of the kingdom. So what happened to them? Well, Peter, how did he put it? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul, he expressed it differently. He said, Christ lives in me, and the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. It's rather like, I believe, some of that first song we sang referred to that. And then St. Paul wrote to the Colossians, God has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Well, the Living Bible says, Jesus bought our freedom with his blood and forgave us our sins. Today's passage says, you must accept the kingdom of God as a little child accepts things. It takes a childlike faith that Jesus has died for our sins. And let me get back to this story. And back in September 1983, here I am, haven't got my ticket. What shall I do? And there's my mother saying, ooh, I wouldn't go out there. Now, I have to explain that my mother's brother was a bank manager in Market Hill. And Market Hill was where we would call bandit country. There were a lot of bandits there, a lot of IRA bandits with guns. And there used to be roadblocks in and out of Market Hill all the time. And even my uncle, every time he went out of Market Hill and back in, the police stopped him and they said, hello, Mr. Gilmore. I hope you don't mind, we're searching your car. And they gave his car a complete search every time in case he was carrying a bomb in. So bandit country, not a very safe place. And here was me wanting to go down to find this little ticket. Well, I did decide to go for the ticket and tried to reassure my mother and family that I'd be careful. And so we prayed. We prayed that I'd be safe and find the ticket. And then this little girl, who was not even four, she suddenly prayed, dear God, please keep Daddy safe and may he find the ticket. Amen. Ooh. Whew. What a prayer. Could I have believed that? So off I drove this sunny autumn evening in September. All the checkpoints had gone. And so I came along and came to one of the checkpoints, got out of the car. And anyway, I went to the side of the road where the leaves had sort of blown, kicked over the leaves and what have you. My goodness. I did find the ticket. Wasn't that just wonderful? But that isn't really the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that 3.5-year-old prayed, dear God, and that was like a childlike faith. So let us have faith in simple, trusting, childlike ways. Let's finish with a prayer. Thank you, Lord God, that most of us have prayed this prayer, and all of us can pray this prayer. Help us, Father God, to live our lives accepting and believing that Jesus died for our sins. Please forgive us and accept us into Jesus' kingdom on earth so that we can know you and your kingdom here today and may join you forever. Amen.